Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. And this is the passage that the Lord brought to mind. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. Let's go 7 and 8, okay? God says that what he opens, Jesus, what he opens, no man can shut. There is a door that God opens that no man can shut. And sometimes God closes that no man can open. The thing about doors is this. It is a gateway. It is an in-between from one place to another place. You want to get somewhere? You got to go through a door. And we want to get breakthrough and continue to move in breakthrough. We've got to enter through the door that God has opened. I believe that God has opened the door of breakthrough in our church. And we need to step in. We need to step in to the breakthrough. In order to get from one place to another, sometimes it isn't a long journey. You know? Sometimes it's just next to you. It's just one step away. It's just crossing the door. When I was younger, we went to Genting Highlands, okay? Theme park and all that stuff. And then there's this place they built up, I cannot remember the exact name, but it's called, you know, Snow World or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you know what I'm talking about. It means you're older. Snow World or something like that. Alright? And in those days, I'm saying those days because, you know, I look back, it's quite funny. And so, there's this huge, you know, like a warehouse kind of thing. And it's, you know, in the shopping mall or in a hotel or, you know, somewhere like that. And as we pass by, we can see big sign, you know, Snow World or whatever. And there's this glass that you can actually see inside. And so inside everything is white and there's like, you know, all this snow coming down and all these people, especially kids, in there with, you know, big jackets and all that, running around and playing in the snow. Fake snow, but snow. Right? So as a kid, you stand there and you look in and say, wow, so fun. Right? So fun. So nice. But here's the thing. You know, sometimes in our spiritual life, this is what happens to us. We hear stories and we see things happening and we say, wow, so fun. But are we experiencing it? No. We are looking through the glass window, the glass pane, and we are seeing great things happening, but we're not there. We've got to walk through the door in order to experience what it is. We've got to go through that, you know, lorong, wear the jacket, pay the bill and the entry fare, and then go inside and experience what it is. Now they actually make, you know, have an ice machine that blows ice out. Last time in those days, it was like small pieces of styrofoam or something like that looks like snow. Okay? And you're going like, what is this? This is not snow. But here's the thing. You got to walk through the door in order to be able to experience what God is doing. We've got to walk through the door. There are a couple of things, four things really I want us to share and think about. I want to share for us to think about. that God does and wants to do in our life. Here, the Bible says that what He opens, no man can shut, and what He shuts, no man can open. Open doors give us access. It gives us access to the things that God wants us to experience. Closed doors, however, causes us to not have access to what God is doing. So doors have a positive as well as a negative aspect. Right? It opens and it closes. The first thing I want us to think about is this, right? Number one, when a door is open, we need to step through by faith. We need to step through by faith. If I'm standing at the door, and if I say, everybody stand up and just spread yourselves out, okay? And there's one door at the back there, two doors, there's another one here, another one here, another one here, another one here. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. In this room itself, there are 6 doors, right? And we used to play this game in my youth. Whenever we have camp and all that, we used to play this game. We get into a hall that, and usually in a hall, there are many outlets, right? Many doors. And before the session, this is icebreaker game. Before the session, we play this game. Fastest to get out. Okay? Fastest to get out. Who's the first at the door? Alright? But here's the thing. You know, everybody is spread out, then we'll call a number of the door. Okay? And the fact is this. The ones that are closer to the door naturally get out first. The ones that are further get out later, right? But it's like a stampede like that. That's the whole fun of being a youth, right? You just stampede out and you bang everybody and bash everybody. In our spiritual life, some of us are closer and some of us are further away from doors. Doesn't mean that we cannot step through. If God opens a door of breakthrough, in finance, for example, and someone comes up and gives a testimony, you know, this is what God is doing, bang, 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 bang. And then we're like, good for him. You know what's going to happen? We're not going to experience it. Why? Because we choose not to step through. Stepping through by faith is coming. Say, God, I want a breakthrough. If we hear of a breakthrough of a healing, for example, God, I want a breakthrough because that's what you are doing in our midst. What do? We step through by faith. We're going to keep walking to that door and say, God, how am I going to get there? What's the direction so that I can step through? Step into that breakthrough by faith. So number one, wherever we are, we need to move. We need to move. You cannot stand out and enjoy from the outside, looking through the glass plane and say, wow, that's great. Clap hands. Not good enough. We got to step through. Open doors and shut doors, I mentioned, has its positive and its negative. The second thing is that we need to trust God to open and to shut. A lot of times we say, God, just open, just open, just open. You know what? Sometimes God wants to shut. Sometimes God wants to shut doors. Shutting doors means a couple of things. Number one, shutting doors means protection. When you go home today, you walk into your house, you shut the door. Right? If you don't shut the door, your parents will come after you. Why leave the door open? How many of you are guilty? Thank you very much for your honesty. Then we walk in inconvenience and we don't shut the door, and then we get scolding. You know what God does in our lives? God shuts the door. Why? Because our lives needs to be protected. He is the doorkeeper. He stands at the door and he shuts the door. Shutting doors also do another thing. Has anyone come to your house unexpectedly? Come to your room unexpectedly? No. Why? You shut the door, right? And you don't let them into your room, even if they come to your house. Yeah? So the first thing that you do when someone comes to your house unexpectedly, you run to your room and you shut the door. Yeah, you're all looking down on the ground now. Huh? Why? Because there are certain things in our room that are private, right? We don't want to let our friends. Or when they come to the house and whatever we have in the living room or whatever we're doing, we just run to our room, throw it inside, and what we do? Shut the door. Private stuff. You know, when God shuts the doors to some areas in our lives, what he does is, he doesn't display the private stuff that we have, but he helps us deal with it. He says, hey, you know why? Because the next time you walk, when your guests leave and you walk into your room, who has to settle all that stuff that you just threw in your room? You're right. And God does that to us. Shut doors means protection. As well as God knows how to deal with the private things in our life. You remember the story of the crossing of the Red Sea? Right? The Egyptians are there and they are after the Israelites. And God says, you know, I'm going to do a miracle, raise your staff. And what happens? The sea opens up. Right? And they walk through on dry ground. And once they are done, these guys are chasing them on chariots and horses and all that stuff. And God tells Moses, raise your staff. And what does God do? He shuts the sea. Protection. And God deals with the secret things in our lives. So number one, we need to step through by faith. Number two, we need to surrender and trust God. Step through. Number two, surrender to God. Many times in our lives, we want to decide which doors get open and which doors get shut. And as we grow, we want to decide more because we feel, we learn what makes us feel good and what doesn't. So we want to go to certain places to eat and make sure that the restaurant door is open. We want to go to certain, you know, colleges or vocation or certain tracks. Some of us want to go overseas and God opened the door. Why? Because I want the door to be open. I want to work in certain places. I don't want to work in those places. I want to work in these places. God opened these doors and shut those doors. But when we learn how to surrender and tell God, God, you do whatever you want. Open the doors that needs to be opened and shut those that you don't want. Protect us. And we need to surrender and have the faith, once again, to trust God to close, to shut the doors that need to be shut. God is the one who stands at the door. Open and shuts it for us. You know, people can be doorkeepers too in our life. Sometimes we go to school, right? We go to office, college, or whatever. And sometimes there are, inverted commas, nasty people. Okay? Sometimes you go to your workplace or in school, there's politics. School also got politics, right? Certain people take control of other people and certain people want you to do certain things. That's how gangs come about. But I believe this is what the Lord is saying to us as well. If God opens the door, if God needs you to do something in your workplace, in your college, in your school, these people, God can shut these people up. God can change the doors in our workplace, in our school, or wherever we are, in our environment. The third thing that we need to do is to think about this story first. Okay, let's turn to that. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. This is the story of the Passover. All right. And there was, God said, this is the final plague that he wanted to send to Egypt. And you go back and read this. They had to take a lamb, 1 year old, a lamb or a goat, without blemish, observe this fellow for 14 days, make sure that nothing wrong with this lamb. And they had to go through a process, okay, to slaughter the lamb. They would eat it in a certain way. But what was important was that they were to take the blood and they were to put the blood on the door, the doorpost, and the top. And the Bible tells us that the blood, verse 13 of Exodus chapter 12, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. An angel of death was to come and pass over Egypt. But every time the household had blood on the doorpost, that angel would pass over. If not, every firstborn in that household would die. The third thing that I want us to think about, the third point is this. Okay. The devil wants to destroy us. We know that. We know that. And we know that there are things that he puts in place so that we fall. Now, I'm using this story because this story talks about the door. The doorpost. All right? And when God was to strike the whole land of Egypt, the only difference was this. The blood on the door. Now, if the Israelites decided, I'll not bother, God's going to save me anyway. He's going to wipe out the Egyptians. God's going to save me. Why? Because, you know, I'm an Israelite. And decides not to put the blood, the firstborn of his household would die. When we want to step in and continue to walk in that breakthrough, here's what we need to do. We need to spread the blood on the doorpost. Point number three. Number one, step in. Step through the door. By faith. Number two, surrender our trust to him as he opens and closes the door. Number three, spread the blood. Spreading the blood on the doorpost is a display of what Christ has done in our lives. If we want breakthrough in the areas that God has placed us in our homes, in our workplace, in our schools, in our college, we need to demonstrate the blood and the presence of God in our lives. We cannot hide under the shell, and as it were, deny Christ, okay? You know, a lot of times we say this, we don't deny Christ. I've never denied Christ. How many of you denied Christ before? No, huh? But as a youth, I've been challenged this, you know. We don't deny Christ with our words, but we deny Christ with our actions. Why? Because we don't spread the blood. We don't say with our lives that Jesus has this door covered. Jesus is the doorkeeper of my life. He's the one that stands at the door. He's the one that opens the doors and closes the doors. Why? Because his blood is on the door. Right there. Do what it takes. Do what it takes to spread the blood. You know the Israelites? Exodus chapter 12, right? You go back and read it. There is a process that God required. 1 year old. Lamb. Must be 1 year old. Observe. Then you are to kill the lamb. You are to sacrifice the lamb. Or you are to barbecue it. Eat it. What is not eaten cannot keep. Must be burned up. You got to eat it in such a way. You got to, you know, wear your clothes ready. Put on your boots when you have the Passover. It's symbolic to movement. There's a certain order that the Passover needs to be carried out. And obviously take the blood and spread it on the doorpost. Do what it takes, number three, to spread the blood, to make Jesus known. If we want breakthroughs, but a lot of times we sit down and say, I hope the breakthrough come to me lah. You know, come lah, spread. Let it come. And we do nothing about it. But we need to get up and do what it takes to spread the blood on the door. On the door. Number four. I'm trying to keep time here. Isaiah. Only 4 points. Last point already. Very good, right? Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. Isaiah says, you know, I'm ruined. Right? But then the Lord touched his lips. But the point I want us to consider here is this. Now at the sound of the voices of these seraphs, the angels, the doorpost shook. Doorposts can shake. Move. Doorposts move. What happened when the doorposts move? Isaiah was there and he saw a vision of the Lord. He saw a vision of heaven. And upon seeing that vision, there's angels moving around, singing, holy, 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 holy. As I read this over and over again, here's a revelation. I imagine this, okay? Isaiah is there. He's walking around, maybe not walking around, you know, he's there, and he suddenly sees a vision. And in that vision, there's the throne of God, and there's his angels. And, you know, he's possibly in some kind of room or something like that, because got door, right? Okay? And then his angels are singing, and then suddenly got earthquake. Okay? The doorposts are moving. Right? And as I thought about it, I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. The angels are singing holy, holy, holy all the time, right? Okay? And so, the doorposts are moving all the time, right? Correct? I thought about it and here's what you know the Lord challenged me. You know, there are certain doors that God wants to open, certain doors God wants to close, right? Okay. And there are certain doors that are there in our lives that, you know, people have perhaps access to, and God wants to move those doors. And then after that, I have, you know, in my imagination go lah to movies now lah, you know. We see movies like Doctor Strange. What does he do? He opens a door. He moves through and then the door disappears, right? Okay. Of course, there are many other movies. This is just one of them. Where, you know, door come and then open the door. Hey, you go in. And then, you know, it's the year, you know, 18 something. And everything change, right? And we are constantly looking for doors, right? Now, here's the thing. Here's what the Lord challenged me. Okay. There are certain doors in our lives that need to disappear. God needs to move those doors. Why? Because those doors gives us or does certain things in our lives. For example, perhaps there are some of us, we have opened certain doors that are not supposed to be opened. You're driving around, you saw an accident or you saw something, and suddenly a door opens and fear comes into our life. I know a person, because of an accident, okay, has not driven a car ever since because of an accident. Cannot drive anymore. Got into an accident. And this is an adult. Okay, it's not beginner driver, okay? Got into accident, shock, and after cannot. This is an adult. Cannot drive anymore. Open a door to fear. I know a person cannot eat certain meat, chicken. Like, why can't eat chicken? Okay, everybody eat chicken, right? Cannot eat. Oh yeah, oh, so loud. Why? Because of something that happened in the past, gripped the life. Cannot eat chicken anymore. Very sad, right? Sad. But that's a door that has opened that needs to be moved. Some people have doors into our life. They're very influential. You know, you go to school, whatever this fella say, everybody listen. Right or wrong, everybody, huh? Okay, lah, never mind, lah, you know. He's the boss. Move. And sometimes we excuse it and we say, yeah, it's okay, lah. Let's just, you know, be nice to the fella. Let's just, you know, do whatever he says or she says. There is an emotional, psychological part of our lives that is robbed because of these doors. And God wants to move these doors so that that person have no access anymore. You know, sometimes when people say something, it grips us. God wants to move that door. So much so that the next time you see this person and he says or she says the same thing, doesn't affect us. You know, some of us have people in our lives that whenever they say something, it affects us so much that it cripples us. This could be our friends, could be our relatives, could even be our family members, you know. It cripples us. And God wants to move those doors, shake those doors. I just want to springboard from Isaiah 6. How does that happen? Isaiah is there and he sees God. He saw the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, he also saw the shaking of the doors. Number four, we need sight of God so that there can be shaking of doors. We need to seek his revelation. At the voice of God, at the sight of who he is and what he is doing, the doors of our lives can and will be shaken. Some people rob us. And especially in this time of transition, we cannot allow those doors to be open. We cannot allow those people to come and continue to grip us, shake us with fear, with sorrow, with despair that affects us emotionally, psychologically. And so we constantly need to fix our eyes on Jesus. God must be that doorkeeper and not our friends. God must be the doorkeeper to our emotions, how we feel, not our friends and what people say. We need to put him right there so that he can shake it and move those doors away. And the only way we can do that is to constantly have a revelation of who he is. And therefore, every day we need to ask ourselves, we need to ask God, God, who are you? I need to see you. Because if we don't see God, we're going to see other things. If we don't see God, those doors are not going to be moved. And the people that have access to those doors will keep walking into your lives. And so those doors need to be moved. People that take us to the wrong direction needs to be moved. And we need to pray that God, you bring us people that would keep us in the right direction. We need to hang around people that help us walk in the breakthrough that God is giving to us. God gives you a breakthrough of healing. Don't hang around people who will say, are you sure or not? You heal already. How long already you heal? Get a revelation from God and God will move these people. I mean, they're still going to be in your life. But every time they say that, poof, doesn't affect me. Why? Because God has moved those doors. Amen? And that's what we need to do in walking through the revelation. Get into the right company. New people are coming. We need to engage ourselves intentionally, deliberately to new doors. And that can only happen when we have sight and revelation of who God is. Isaiah saw, it says, the Lord high and exalted. Seated on a throne, and his train and the train of his robe filled the temple. I saw, Isaiah said. I saw, verse 1. The Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. We need to walk into the breakthrough that God has given to us. We need to continue to walk toward the breakthrough that God is giving to us. I want to end with this scripture. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7 and 8. Knock on those doors. And the door, the Lord says, will be open. If we have doors in front of us that are not open, God says, knock. And God's going to open those doors. And as you experience breakthrough, it's not going to be just one breakthrough. It's going to be breakthrough upon breakthrough upon breakthrough. Knock on those doors. And as those doors open, number one, step in by faith. Number two, surrender. Trust God to open the right doors. Close those doors that are not supposed to be open. Number three, spread the blood. Spread the blood. Number four, have sight. See the Lord. Okay. See the Lord and the revelation of God. And as we do these four things, I guarantee you we will experience breakthrough upon breakthrough upon breakthrough, because God is in the business of opening and closing doors. God is our doorkeeper. He is in the business of opening and closing doors in our life. Amen. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, right now we look to you and we ask, oh God, that you will search our hearts once again. Lord, we give you permission to open doors that needs to be opened, close doors that needs to be closed. We choose, oh God, by faith, to step through those doors that you have opened. Not only to look from the outside, but Lord, to be intentional in stepping through those doors. Father, we pray that you will give us the courage to surrender. To surrender to your wisdom, to know the doors that we need to walk through. Open those doors, Lord. And your wisdom to shut those doors that needs to be shut in our lives. We surrender to your authority and your wisdom. And Father, we pray today that you will teach us to do whatever it takes to spread the blood. To guard ourselves from the attack of the destroyer. And as we spread the blood, we are confident, oh God, that you are our doorkeeper. And Father, we pray also that you would give us a revelation. Help us to see the Lord high and exalted, seated on his throne. We want to see you, God. Give us a revelation of who you are. Lord, as we study your word, as we go through this series of walking in breakthrough, Father, we pray that you would take us step by step by step as we ask, seek, and knock. Lord, you would open doors. We thank you that you are our doorkeeper. We thank you that in you we have breakthrough. In Jesus' name, amen.